B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and Twitter's a wonderful thing. You can get insights into people's lives. You can find out if you're the most wise person on the planet. You can find out a lot of things. You can disturb the world.
Are you good?
With your maniacal ramblings. But nonetheless, Rich, there is something you tell me. I'm not following a ton of people on Twitter, but I don't follow a lot of people at the station. Maybe that should change.
Yeah, it should change.
All right. So you're saying that there's drama afoot.
There is. Around 9:30 yesterday morning, I noticed that there was someone who's a little upset who works here in the halls of 98.5 Sports Hub, and that person is Mr. James Stewart.
Fred Toucher, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. He is very angry.
Yes.
And I was like, what is he upset about? And he starts off with a tweet. It was a really great week of wrestling / sports entertainment. And to fall flat at the end of a pay-per-view event and a match like Hell in the Cell is offensive to me. I'm a loyal fan and an advocate of the product. And in the end last night, it left me so frustrated at the creative effort. It's unacceptable that WWE books a match and gives us a trash finish.
Feel the pain.
Do you think he was sitting in an easy chair, like, watching it? And then afterwards, like, someone comes in the room and he's just turning on the light and turning off the light next to him? I've been waiting. McMahon.
Well, one thing I do know is that he was so upset by the end of this Hell in the Cell pay-per-view that apparently happened Sunday night that he called for an emergency podcast of the Behind the Ropes.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes, you got to calm yourself down first, James. Don't go crazy.
I mean, you know how it is, Fred. Sometimes when you're really, really angry, you need to just step away from it for a while. Like, how many times have you been angry and, like, you wanted to, like, tweet something or you wanted to call somebody?
And you need to just take a break and take a breath. I mean, next thing you know, like, Big Guns McGee or whatever the hell the wrestler is going to be, Major Guns is going to be super upset at you.
Major Guns.
Big Guns McGee.
That was the hot chick from the Attitude Era. Her and Miss Hancock used to hang out together. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. Major Guns.
Yeah, Major Guns and Miss Hancock. And
how are they not on a Big Johnson t-shirt?
Well, I'm sure they modeled for Big Johnson.
Maybe they did.
So there was going to be an emergency podcast. He needed, because I would imagine it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
And so he can't sleep. He's tossing and turning all night.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do this alone, can he?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he's got to call the gang. Oh. I mean, he doesn't want to just filibuster for an hour and a half, even though he's very, very capable of it. Now, my question is, is this going to change his relationship with Dolph Ziggler or whatever the guy's name is?
Dolph Ziggler?
I hope he doesn't go too far and alienate all his wrestling friends.
Well, he did end
the
up...
The fabulous Moolah's Ray rolling around in her grave.
He did have to call up one of his closest wrestling buddies to bust out the podcast.
Aha!
Mr. Sarge.
Oh, boy.
So
Sarge is just laying in bed with three chicks.
So let's get to our special edition of Behind the Ropes, which you can find at 98.5 Sports, but it's one of the podcasts they have there. A special emergency edition.
What planet are we on? Is that upset of fake wrestling?
And the world
like getting, like, getting mad at a movie. Like, you just go, movie sucked. I don't know. Okay. Well, there had to be an emergency sesh. Mm-hmm. I hope they didn't burn too many bridges.
I mean, listen, they know that all the wrestlers listen to their podcast.
Like, somewhere there's a single tear coming out of the eye of Roman Reigns.
It's either that or just, like, his perpetually wet hair. Just finally, juice came out.
Greg the Hammer Valentine always had wet hair. I mean, there's always got to be a guy who has wet hair. Bret Hart always had a little wet hair. All right, so here we go. Here is an emerge. So this is like an SOS.
Yeah.
Like,
SOS.
Just in the sky was a luchador mask, and they had to sit down and do this. So they're sitting down. Mm-hmm. It's a battle of the brains, mm-hmm. And here we go. It's Jimmy Stewart And Mike Sarge Riley in a emergency over the ropes podcast.
That was terrible, Mike. That was that.
By
finished
way, stop,
to the
stop. That's the very first words that come out of his mouth.
Well,
there's the big, long, gratuitously long intro.
Well, they
that
have
has
to
18
play.
Sound clips of people. I don't know what they are.
Well, I hope that they're paying royalties to the score makers of Boobs Poppin'.
The music in the background.
Yes,
it does sound like a 1980s, you know, sex comedy romp.
Yeah. Like busty brain surgeons.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I was going Cinemax, and you were going.
Oh, you're going Cinemax? Okay. Yeah. Black Emmanuel. Black Emmanuel. Her erotic adventure.
By the way, the intro is like.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things.
These aren't good clips.
No.
Inside the ropes.
I mean, the clips are just kind of like them talking.
Could you imagine if they're playing that and then you saw the two of them live sitting there?
Like the camera just switched.
Like Sarge sitting there with a tough look on his face. Get off of my yard.
He's like sitting in a beanbag with his two wrestling belts just kind of draped over him. He got a bag of chips.
He's doing trivia at some place in Braintree with his belts on.
I couldn't stop laughing yesterday. After the show, I was listening to this, and the visual of the photo that you showed me of the Lombardi trophies, where he went to wherever it was, Capitol Grill.
And Chestnut Hill, because they had all the Lombardi trophies.
The fact that he brought his wrestling belt so he could hold it up behind the six Lombardi trophies. He brought it with him so he could just add to the greatness of the photograph. It was awesome.
He's like a kid carrying around a blanket.
It's Linus.
No, he really is.
He's like Linus of wrestling fans.
Yes, he makes him feel like a superhero. It really, I mean, I'm not. It's not a stretch. He loves it. There's something in him that loves it. You guys don't remember Big Daddy, but when he put on the invisibility glasses, like he's like Super Sarge when he puts that thing on. All right, so we continue.
That was terrible, Mike. That was that finish to the Bray Wyatt Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell match was absolute garbage. Like, so the sledgehammer gets somebody disqualified in a Hell in a Cell match.
I just love the passion coming out of Jay Stu. That was terrible. I mean, come on, Ray Wyatt, please.
Bray Wyatt,
yes.
Yeah. Come on. The sledgehammer disqualification.
I mean, come on. I wanted him to do a mighty suplex.
You can hit somebody with a ladder, a toolbox, a chair, but once the sledgehammer comes out, that's the end, right? What was a fantastic pay-per-view ends with that trash finish. If you don't want to beat The Fiend, if you don't want to beat Bray Wyatt...
This is all the... This is all fake. If you... You don't need a sledgehammer to beat The Fiend. You'll
just need five fingers.
Not even. Just need some socks for after. Damn you, Fiend. Was disqualified for lack of socks or tissue. What am I going to do? Whoops-a-daisy.
If you don't want to beat The Fiend, if you don't want to beat Bray Wyatt, then don't put the match together. Put him in there with Baron Corbin again. Or put.
I mean, really.
He's talking about language here.
Or put him in there with somebody that you do want to beat. That is just an unacceptable scenario. Just garbage, Mike. Just absolute trash, Mike.
Yep. I, you know,
Mike, Jimmy, go.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just no need for that. What we need an explanation on the Hell in the Cell here. Who the hell cares if a sledgehammer comes out? What a joke!
Booing as the pay per view is going off the air, and while Seth was spamming his finish.
Hey, instant replay. Why is that sledgehammer illegal? I want a ruling. I wish he would stop spamming his finish.
Ew. That's a long lead.
What are you saying? Like, what was he spamming his finish?
Yeah.
And that doesn't
sound too good.
What was the first one? Like beating his marauder or something?
Fiend.
His
fiend. Beat the fiend.
Beat the fiend and spam your finish.
Yeah. That's not good, any of it.
Spam your finish. It's where you put it where it's not wanted.
What?
You'll get it later.
I probably will.
On Bray Wyatt, the crowd was booing and turning against him.
Frustration, you know, absolutely. And just, I don't understand. And my theory too, Jimmy, I don't know. I just thought of this real quick. The official, Rod Zapata.
What's that? Also,
yeah, well, he was also the official for the main event at WrestleMania 35, where, you know, the finish was a little iffy, if you will.
It's scripted.
It's a scripted thing.
Why are you complaining about the official?
First of all, you know the name of the referee, which is...
What's that?
He's dead to me. Is that a person or a big box of feces? This official has a track record of being too litigious. This official's crooked. The fix was in.
The Tim Donaghy of wrestling referees.
He probably had money on the fake stuff.
Someone get Joe Murray on the line and see what his feelings were.
The finish they did tonight for Hell in a Cell was terrible. It was awful. Do you know what my friend texted me before the show began?
Oh, now you're lying.
Now, do you think it was Andy Wong?
It could be one of the Kowloon crew.
There's like the texting. It's just like, what's going on with the sledgehammer?
Do you know what my friend texted me before the show began and said, you know how Seth Rollins beats Bray Wyatt the Fiend?
How's that?
You take his mask off.
Yeah. Kind of like a Dracula.
Yes, that's how you defeat Dracula.
No, but
you take his mask off.
What? Well, if you want to defeat the Fiend, you got to take his mask off.
Just
everyone
like
knows that.
Sure.
Ah, it's like Darth Vader. Hey, you took my mask off. Ah, I'm the Fiend. I'm very fiendish. We were projecting what was going to happen. It's like the end of the Different Strokes where Arnold took on the Gooch.
Somebody said that official totally blew the game for Michael J. Fox's team. These guys watching Teen Wolf.
He became himself again and showed that he could do it. He didn't have to be the wolf. I'll tell you what. Is those bears certainly got it together when the time was right. Before that, they were bad news. Kelly, he seems like a rebel now, but boy, can he huck it.
Stop complaining about the refs in fake movies.
Yeah. In Little Giants, that was a hold.
Ed O'Neill's team totally should have won.
Hey, that's illegal. What are you doing, Mighty Ducks? No way, icing.
That's his kryptonite. That's the difference between the two personalities is the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. Three curb stomps, a pedigree, and then a fourth curb stomp. So after you've hit the 10th, 11th, 12th curb stomp, what do? You take the mask off and you see if that works.
That sounds right.
This is probably not funny to anyone else.
Somebody said, is Sarge going to burn all of his belts like the people who burn their jerseys when a player leaves a team?
Oh, no, I think that that's about $5,000 in belts. They're insured for $10,000. Look at me. I got a belt. Hey, honey, ever been with a champion wrestler?
Oh, that was just so great. As angry as they were on Twitter, and then I found out they did an emergency podcast, I'm like, well, this is something that... Well, and it's 48 minutes, by the way.
How many people, I mean, do you think were watching Hell in the Cell, and they're like, why didn't they take the Fiend's mask off?
They should have done that.
All right.
Rudy was offside, someone's saying.
All right, so we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. And Twitter's a wonderful thing. You can get insights into people's lives. You can find out if you're the most wise person on the planet. You can find out a lot of things. You can disturb the world.
You could.
With your maniacal ramblings. But nonetheless, Rich, there is something you tell me. I'm not following a ton of people on Twitter, but I do, but I don't follow a lot of people at the station. Maybe that should change.
Yeah, it should change.
All right. So you're saying that there's drama afoot.
There is. Around 9:30 yesterday morning, I noticed that there was someone who's a little upset who works here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Dutcher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the New York Giants tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members. Because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans two times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This includes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. So wait, your friend went to the Topsfield Fair yesterday?
Yes. He went last night, I believe. And he just... Too much. Too many people. Too crowded. He did not enjoy himself. All
right, first of all, where's Topsfield?
Topsfield's north of the city. About a half an hour, 40 minutes.
Okay. And I would imagine when the fair is going, there's a tremendous amount of traffic.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So if I am going to the Topsfield Fair, I am going to invest an hour and a half of my time maybe getting there.
Yes.
Because of the traffic.
There are two exits you can take. There's one that goes right towards the fairgrounds, and it's a two-lane road, and it's backed up. Miles, at least 2 miles, bumper to bumper traffic went on weekends, especially almost all the way to the exit on 95 to get off there. Or you can go up and exit Masco. Musconomet Regional is near there. You can park there and take a yellow bus to the fairgrounds.
So, all right. So I am going and I'm enduring this hell to achieve what end? What is going on at the top?
Well, you get to see the record breaking 18. 1,800-pound pumpkin that is now there. Okay, you have livestock that is judged, prize-winning rabbits. And
okay, wait a second. So, okay, so I see the pumpkin.
Yes.
And that is killed 30 seconds
yes.
of time.
Yes.
And I've been amazed at the size of the pumpkin. Now, what is my interest in the livestock?
I never saw it. Personally, I've never been a big fan of prize-winning steers, but apparently there
now,
are some people.
Can you bid on them for food?
No, I do not believe that's the case.
It's like the Westminster Dog Show, but for cattle.
Yes, in that part of it. There's also a stage where people perform. I think Pat Benatar was up there a couple of years ago.
My God, they got Pat Benatar?
I know. I believe Pat Benatar was there.
That's got to be a kick to the old ego.
Yeah, she's 60 now, I believe.
I don't care how old she is. Yeah. She was at one point one of the biggest stars of the musical stars.
Someone I've always wanted to see, but apparently she performed there a couple of years ago. There are rides. There are contests that they give away with Doobie Brothers mirrors.
Coke mirrors. Sure. All right. Yes, Dan.
John, don't forget about the Swifty Swine racing today at 1 o'clock.
Yes. Yes, they have that.
It's Swifty Swine. They're just instead of that, it's pig racing.
There's
the Great American Duck Race, Fred, where they put ducks in little pools, and
so they basically torture animals.
Well, no, it gets even better because it when I was there, it wasn't last year; it was the year before last. What they did was they put a giant telephone pole on the ground in the middle of this empty space, and they greased it up, and they put like a white flag on top. And if you climbed up to the top somehow and got the flag, you won money.
Okay, so you're not going to do that?
No, I'm not.
All right. So why are you going to this thing?
Originally, when I went 2 years ago, it was to bring the children and a day out and, you know, nice drive, whatever it was during the fall.
A nice drive?
It was a nice drive.
A nice drive down up 95?
Yes. It's a weekend. We went on a weekend morning. It was fine.
A nice drive up. Yes. No one's ever said, I'm going to go up Interstate 95. It's a beautiful drive.
It was a gorgeous drive, Fred.
Up Interstate. Well, then listen, I got news for you. You can take 95 all the way down to Florida.
You take a left when 128 splits off and heads towards Gloucester. You point north. It's gorgeous. You go by, what's that place?
Are you the kind of guy who goes for a drive?
No.
All right. So not. Getting in the jalopy in 1935.
No. I hate being in the car. Yeah, so anyone who's been with me in traffic can attest.
You have still, it's amazing to me that people feel the need to take their children. Like they think, we were kind of like this when they were very young. But they feel the need to take their children to things that just to do it.
Yeah.
Like children don't need
that. My wife and I did that back-to-back years in Topsfield. And if you go in the morning, if you go earlier the day, you can do it.
Okay, but you still haven't explained to me why you were there.
To see. There are rides for the kids. There are contests where the kids can win, like stuffed animals, that kind of thing. It's a very, very large version of the
fair that comes to Newton Center.
Yes.
All right. So why did you drive all that way to just go to a place where there's like one tenth of it is of interest to you?
Something to do with the kids.
But the kids could be doing anything. They're kids. They could be out riding their bicycles. They could be going over to friends' houses.
They do that now.
No, I know, but why do they have to go to the Topsfield Fair?
As I said, it's just something different. What do you want to do today? We've done this. We've done that. I want to sit around. Hey, you know, the Topsfield Fair has started. Let's go look. Well, let's go look.
I mean, it's like, let's go to the morgue. It's something to do.
I don't think it's quite the same.
Let's go walk around some cemeteries.
I don't think it's...
And read the headstones and try to imagine how they died.
I think the comparison is wrong in that case.
I just like...
Both of those cases.
Just the idea that, like, oh, there's something going on. We must go.
Yeah.
Because the children are going to did they love it?
Yes, they actually enjoyed themselves. My children did enjoy themselves when we were there. They did not enjoy themselves when everyone got there and you couldn't move. That was the time to go. Because if you're there during peak hours and your child moves like 3 feet away from you, the kid is gone.
Right.
You can't see. You have to hold on to them.
Well, that's like when I used to go. The first time we ever went to the kids' museum, we bought like a pass, like we were going to go back there.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to lose my son.
Yes. Everyone does that. That's a rite of passage, man.
Yeah, because it's good that when you're leaving the Children's Museum, they have this gigantic, basically, rope maze that's going on.
So your kid will break off and sprint over there, and that'll be the end
of
it. Exactly.
And so then I thought, why am I driving out to this kids' museum, you know, when there's parks all over the place? Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, so guys, about 6 years ago, my girlfriend wanted to go to the Topsfield Fair in Wallach. That two-lane road was backed up to the exit.
Yeah.
And after about 30 minutes of literally going nowhere, I just lost my mind. And I pretty much forced my girlfriend, one of my best friends, and his girlfriend at the time to turn around. We left, and we got lunch at Hooters, and I was miserable the entire day.
Now, listen, you get a little Hooters.
No, you go to Hooters, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was at Hooters not so long ago. Zolak says, no alcohol, you sit in traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think they would at least have alcohol to take the edge off.
I didn't see any while I was there.
Dan, go ahead.
Hey, just wanted to call in. I raced the Ducks yesterday, and it was a hell of a show. I went in. They gave me a duck. They told me to squeeze it so hard, I couldn't tell if the thing was breathing or not. The girl next to me, the thing was slapping so hard it scratched the bejesus out of her, and I ended up losing to a woman who threw her duck about 6 yards down the pool.
All right, now I can't speak of any of that. I don't know if that's true.
Pissed.
I know that duck.
They have you hold a live duck?
I don't know if any.
Doesn't want to be there. Of course you get nailed.
I have no idea if that's true or not. I'm gonna. People at Topsfield Fair. I am not. I'm not
judging the duck races.
I am not.
No.
I don't know what happens in those duck races.
Sure.
Except the duck is a delicious meal.
I did not see it while I was there.
Alex, go ahead.
Yo, Fred. Yeah, I mainly go for the people watching. I go there to see the very skinny males with their hands on the back of the very larger women.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I was going to beat you to the punch. Is that, yes, that it seems like an event where there is a very small, frail male with a 300-pound woman rubbing her back. Yes. That seems to be exactly the kind of place.
That's in evidence. Yes, good call.
I was at Deerfield Fair like last weekend, and it was the same exact thing. So I'm going to Topsfield this for that same reason.
All right, well, listen, if that's what you like frail would-be meth heads with their 300-pound girlfriends rubbing their back and that weird smell that comes off the two of them of cigarettes and
embarrassment sweat.
No, it's cigarettes and Italian subs. One cigarettes, the other one's Italian subs.
Sure.
I don't know. God bless all you guys. I mean, Rich took his kids to, because his wife was out of town, took them to Six Flags. Hour and a half each way.
I know. Rich goes to Canopy Lake. We've talked about this
before.
I mean,
my kids don't sit at home. I mean, we always have stuff going on. Believe me. We always have stuff going on. There's stuff every day. But, I mean, just the idea of torturing myself at the Topsfield Fair does not seem like something I'd want to do. Nick goes without kids to the Topsfield Fair.
He's going to the Marshfield Fair.
Oh, well, that's from Marshfield.
It doesn't matter.
That's different.
Is it?
Yes. If you're from there, yes.
I think that that's probably something where, the last time Nick was happy was probably at the Marshfield Fair before his dad became more famous, before he crapped himself.
How did his girlfriend discover him again?
Well, it's funny that you ask, John. Nick's girlfriend found him covered in his own feces.
Not just a pile, right?
I don't know in what way, shape, or form the feces was, but he was covered in it.
I see.
And she came in, and he was on the verge of death.
Oh, Nick's angry at me, man.
What a way to go.
He's pissed.
Imagine if he was dead, and then all the coroner and everything would have to come in there. It's all covered in his own filth. Very, very undignified way to go.
Yes.
All right. We will be back. We can talk a little bit about this Ben Watson situation. He got pretty much screwed.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Peter King has a podcast, apparently, which I can't imagine sitting down and listening to, as the man is insufferable. But Brett Favre, and remember when Brett Favre was playing, the Sports Hub was new, and every year he would start crying and retire, and then he would come back and... Like, he'd come off the field, like, after the last game of the season, and he'd be crying about how he was going to leave, and then ultimately he'd get pulled back in the league. I think he pulled that 3 or 4 times.
Well, one of my favorite things the Packers ever did was when he was pussyfooting around and not committing. And remember, they actually flew down. I believe it was management went into his ranch in Louisiana, wherever he lives.
Mitchell Nichols camped on the front lawn.
Ed Werder wouldn't leave his property.
Ed Werder was there for maybe a month.
Yep, he was sitting there.
Every day in front of the house in Mississippi.
So you remember, camp was about to start, and they flew down to say, hey, what's your decision? And he kept hemming and hawing. And then finally, the Packers said, enough. We're going with Aaron Rodgers. And then, remember, he was like, oh, but I want to come back. I'm like, sorry, we've moved on. And that's when he tried to... Remember, he originally wanted to be on the Vikings just to spite them, but because of his contract, he wasn't allowed to. So he ended up getting traded to the Jets, and he had to do that 1 year in Jets purgatory until he was allowed to go back.
If he would have won the last game of the season, they would have gone to the playoffs, but he crapped that away.
Well, I mean, he also didn't have a great time there, seeing that he got in a little trouble sending pictures of himself.
Listen, what woman doesn't want a picture of your penis?
But, I mean,
they just love it.
He wanted to be on the Vikings to spite the Packers, and so he finally got his wish. But I thought that was one of the best moves that the Packers did, was that they said, all right, enough messing around. We've flown down, we've begged you, and now we got to move on. And you know, now it was the best decision, one of the best decisions they've ever made.
All right, so Favre's on this podcast with Peter King, and then he starts talking about if his fears of CTE. And then King asked him if he wondered if he stayed in football too long. And then Favre says, absolutely. I wonder every day what tomorrow will bring just from how I did play, he said. Now, Favre's only 50. He said, for me, what I have fear of more than anything that 20 years ago was not even a thought is the mental side of it. You and I were talking before we started the podcast. Some of the stories you brought up, I don't remember. There was a point in my life where I remembered everything, a story I should know, whether it's one from you or someone else. I have no recollection. It bugs me. It makes me wonder. And then he says, were you glad you played football? And he said he wouldn't trade any of it. So it's kind of mixed reactions. He says that he thought he had only suffered 4 concussions, but but as we're learning about concussions, there's a term that is often used in football and maybe other sports that I got dinged. When you have a ringing in the ears, seeing stars, that's a concussion. And if that's a concussion, then I've had hundreds, probably thousands throughout my career, which is frightening. So make up your mind. Are you glad? Like, so you're paranoid at 50, as you should be, that you're going to have some cognitive problems, but you wouldn't trade it for anything?
Well, I think that there's two people talking there. I think there's Brett Favre, the guy who for a moment is living in reality and realizes what's coming. And how, unfortunately, if you've lived that kind of lifestyle for as long as he has, you know, you hear about progressively this gets worse as you get older. But then there's the other part of it who wants to be cool football guy in the middle of this interview saying, oh, but I wouldn't trade any of that for anything. I believe that he's somebody who sits there and goes, man, I probably should have quit maybe when I originally quit and not played those extra 3 years. Was he with 2 with the Vikings?
I don't think it probably matters. I mean, at that point. He was all irresponsible, like running around and getting the crap knocked out of him.
Yeah. And he threw irresponsibly, too.
Well, he was a gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you do is you get taken one spot ahead of Browning Nagel. That's what you do. You sit tight with your pick, even though you're like Brett Favre, mm-hmm. and you sit there and you score yourself a Browning Nagel.
3. It is 2 with the Vikings, 1 with the Jets.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, isn't this kind of on him?
I don't think he's blaming anybody.
No, I know, but it's just, I mean, you were the one who kept wanting to retire, but then wouldn't do it. I mean, you have to know when your body's breaking down or when you can't remember things.
I mean, look at Rob Gronkowski. If he stays out, people look back and go, well, he probably did the right thing here.
I mean, plenty of people did. Calvin Johnson said that I can't play anymore, like my, and he shows his hands and they're all gnarled up.
Was it marijuana before game day or after a Monday
He had to smoke to calm himself down.
Calvin Johnson?
Calvin Johnson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, I know Percy Harvin just came out and he smoked every game.
Yeah. Well, Percy Harvin's also a lunatic.
Yes.
And it just shows you what kind of culture there was around Florida, where he could literally do whatever he wanted, and they were not going to cut him from that team. Who was the coach of that team at the time?
Urban Meyer?
Was it Meyer who had
Percy Harvin, or was it Spurrier?
Wasn't there a gap between Spurrier and Urban Meyer? Yeah, there was. Or wasn't there?
I'll have to check.
Oh, it was Urban Meyer. Yeah, Urban Meyer really had a culture of discipline over there.
Yeah.
It's funny that when guys come out of that program in Florida, there was a couple of them, I think, that had some problems.
Just a few. Yeah,
yeah, with the Urban Meyer years. Urban Meyer, a real good guy. Really, really concerned about the young men that he was in charge of.
Well, I mean, don't even look at the guys who played underneath him. I mean, it's one after the next.
No, Urban Meyer he wanted to win football games. A lot of pressure on him. Because Lord knows if University of Florida doesn't win football games, that institution just goes into the sea. I mean, he let them get away with anything. And you don't think Percy Harvin smoked weed every day while he was in that program?
Oh, sure.
Funny how he never tested positive for anything.
Well, I mean, he never did in the NFL, did he? He never got popped in the NFL, did he?
No, Percy Harvin, I think, got popped for something in the NFL. He was getting suspended all the time.
Was it for weed, though? Well, I guess they don't specify.
It just seems to me, I seem to recall Percy Harvin having a lot of trouble.
25 players arrested on Urban Meyer's watch.
That's the list that
I saw.
Eight at Ohio State, too, by the way.
Yeah, and he had the Pouncies. Too,
yes,
as well.
He had the Pouncies. He had
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, he had a bunch of guys. Cam Newton, if you remember correctly, was arrested during his 1 year at Florida before he transferred.
He had Brandon Spikes.
Yep.
Yeah,
Janoris Jenkins. Yeah, a bunch of them.
Yeah, he really cared. He was very interested in the young men that came out of there. I wonder if you could go back if you would have a little red flag if you played under Urban Meyer. Maybe this isn't worth it. Yeah, Jenkins did get thrown out, and Jenkins got thrown out of the program, and Cam Newton got thrown out of the program because it went in the news.
Yes.
All right, he couldn't buy it off that paper. When we come at 8 o'clock, a brand new Armpits, and you know, Rich, that there will be talk of guess the Big Johnson T-shirt joke.
Just guess the punchline. Although Billy Laney very upset that we're spending too much time on that and not enough on the co-ed naked ones.
Oh,
Big Johnson are better than co-ed naked.
Oh, well, he said that co-ed naked was something you wore in middle school, and Big Johnson was what you wore in high school.
Yeah, but co-ed naked.
What's Lanny from?
Punchlines, man.
What's Lanny from? The swamps of Florida?
Dude, okay.
You know who wears Big Johnson
shirts? You didn't go to high school?
People who get their clothes for free.
You didn't go
People that sift through trash bags of clothes.
It's called my high school. You didn't go to a high school where people wore Big Johnson shirts?
Could you wear them to school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
co-ed naked?
I had co-ed naked shirts. Oh, my high school, co-ed naked shirts.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Totally.
We had guys who were, actually, we did have guys who were, but Big Johnson shirts. But even then, I knew those were corny. And it's not like, you know, I was Rico Suave.
I mean.
But I knew they weren't funny.
I would say that there probably wasn't a day in my high school where at least two or three students didn't wear a Big Johnson
Did they
t-shirt.
Point to it and be like, yeah.
No. They usually didn't say anything. They're just kind of the quiet ones.
This is quick, and I don't know if anyone's going to care about this, but this is a story, our friend Axel, this is a story that he has. All right, so his father-in-law is an interesting character. I love this story. You're not going to like it. It's not going to be funny to you. So obviously the father-in-law, his wife knows where the father-in-law is, and he lives in this, you know, small house in northern Florida. And he comes to their house one day, like for the holidays, and they're like, "What have you been up to?" And he unzips his jacket and he opens it up and it says Hard Rock Cafe, Seoul, Korea. And he points at it like, and they're like, "What?" And he's like, "I was in Korea. I got this shirt. It's evidence that I was in Korea.
It's the first place you go."
Because he thought he would pull the wool over everyone's eyes because he had a Hard Rock Seoul, Korea shirt. That they would be like, "Oh my God, when did you go to Korea?"
Joke's on you.
So he like unzipped his jacket and like unveiled it and was like pointing at it and like putting his hands up like, "Yeah." Like they were going to all like, "Oh, Dad, wow.
Tell us all about your trip to Korea."
Korea.
because this is obvious proof. It's not like you can get this shirt anywhere else unless you travel all the way to Korea.
But great about it is that those Hard Rock Cafe t-shirts are supposed to be evidence that you're a world traveler. Like Japan.
Right, it's like a stamped passport.
Like even if you don't say anything, like everyone knows that you were in Japan. It's like Anthony Bourdain, everywhere he went, he would just have a Hard Rock shirt.
You actually got tattoos of all the Hard Rock logos.
No, you got worse tattoos than those. All right, so we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Ben Watson, cut by the Patriots. They kind of screwed him. So the guy's not playing football. A doctor gives him medicine or whatever kind of medicine or supplement or whatever the hell it is, saying that, you know, you're out of football, maybe this is good for you, whether it be marijuana or whether it be something to help him heal. So the Patriots sign him. He goes through the indignity of a 4-game suspension. He gets concussed. And then they turn around when the suspension's over and go see ya. Now, he got $600,000, which is nice, but you also have to think the amount of work that he had to put in to start playing football again. So basically, you gave me a concussion, you put me through the indignity of being suspended for 4 games, and now you're going, all right, bye. And now, here I am in football shape, sitting here, and, you know, now I want to play because I went through all this crap getting ready to play football again.
But they don't owe it to him. That's the thing, is that in the NFL, we've
learned they don't owe it to him, but they screwed him. I mean, of course they don't owe it to him.
Well, I mean, they didn't get him suspended. They didn't give him the concussion.
No, but he got a concussion playing for them.
Sure.
No, but he got suspended because they brought him back and he had been taking medicine or whatever it was. And I have no reason to doubt the doctor told him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that with Golden Tate, too. I think that there was something going on where...
Well, Golden Tate's also the guy who got high and broke into a donut place.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Pot donuts, baby.
I do remember.
And I love Golden Tate.
We that was the first question we asked him, remember?
Yeah, and he was very honest about it.
He was just like, dude, I was hungry.
I was 21.
And the donuts look great. I was hungry.
And I have to give him a round of applause for not becoming exceptionally paranoid that he had the balls when he was high, of all things. First of all, the motivation to get up, and second, when you have, you know, many, many, many ways that you could order food to your home, and
this is before all those cool apps.
You could still call a Chinese food restaurant and have them deliver food. I mean, pizza was still
available. I think this is like 2 a.m. I think this happened in the middle of the night.
Yes.
All right. Well, and he lived on top of it.
Well, yes, that's correct.
I think it was just
exactly what happened.
Here.
Yes.
If you're high and you have that kind of motivation and wherewithal and you're not paranoid about being caught, because I smoked weed again on Friday.
Yeah.
And it was fine, but I don't like it the next day. I feel weird the next day.
Oh, it doesn't just wear off?
It might be a mental thing, but I don't feel good the next day. But anyway, as things would go for Benjamin Watson, listen, the Patriots didn't know he was going to get a concussion, and obviously he got suspended. But as things go, you know, it's not it probably went as poorly as it could for him.
It did. And it does kind of suck, but I think he's not even blaming the Patriots. He wants to continue to play.
I don't think he's overly thrilled with the Patriots. He tweeted out something which had a biblical verse in it. So
I think it was more about him wanting to continue to play.
Well,
also on top of that, I mean, they've got two guys now. I mean, was Ben Watson...
It doesn't,
was he better than LaCoste? Was he better than...
Well, I'd say he's probably equal to both. Now, granted, he's 37, 38 years old and is not going to be a Pro Bowl tight end, but you're telling me Izzo and LaCoste are that much better than him? No. And by the way, that tweet
you were talking
about...
I'm telling
you
that Belichick actually made that decision. Like, I don't know.
Izzo and LaCoste don't catch passes on Sunday. I mean, suppose they still can't... They don't get a lot of production. I mean, the blocking problems are there,
But based on what we saw Sunday, that's the reason they released Benjamin Watson. And Watson in that tweet basically said, I did everything I possibly could to get myself back into shape, and now I'm out of a job.
Yeah, now you've screwed me, and I'm
I don't think he was happy with it at all.
No, he wasn't happy about it at all. I don't think he understood it. I think that
he's happy and being angry at the Patriots.
I think he's angry at the Patriots, wouldn't you say, John?
It is my belief that Fred is right.
Well,
I think he is angry at the Patriots. Now,
and you would be angry too.
Oh, sure. I might be pissed off the situation. You're right. But I also don't think that the Patriots did anything wrong.
But
you're right.
If I'm Benjamin Watson, I'm furious.
Yeah, I probably would be pissed.
Yeah, you pulled me out of retirement.
The same way I'd be pissed if I was a guy on Hard Knocks and I busted my ass and I didn't make the team.
That's a little bit different. They brought him out of retirement and then he had to go through all this crap and then just to get cut.
They paid him.
They paid him $600,000, which I think if he went back in time and you said $600,000 and here's what you're going to have to do, he would have said, you go screw.
And he still has an opportunity to make money.
Yeah, I mean, seven kids.
Rich, that's why he's so into the Bible.
Seven children.
Yeah, that's the guys that are in the Bible always have like seven children. No, I mean, you're defending the organization. I just think that he got screwed. I mean, he can go get another job. Sure, he could have got another job when they pulled him out of retirement. Yeah, probably needs the 600.
I mean, it made all the sense in the world. He started his career here, was a first-round draft pick of the Patriots, left after four seasons, and it was a great story to come full circle. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's upset. Now, you were right. On the other side of it is, this is what the Patriots do. They're cold. They really don't seem to care all that much.
No.
What you've done, who you are, unless your name is Brady or Gronk, they really don't really tend to care all that much.
Well, that's why they got rid of that roster spot, because when Gronk comes back, it's going to, slide right in there. Right.
Well, he's got CBD, so, I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, he could just play tomorrow with all the CBD. By the way, he got on that train just in time. Just in time.
I bet he's going to make a lot of money.
I would disagree.
It's everywhere now.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I disagree.
And his ads are everywhere now.
I know, and there's 5 million places to get CBD. Let's put it this way. If there was an IPO for CBD, he missed it by about 2 years.
But that's the only one whose name I know.
Okay, well, if I go to a store and there's CBD and CBD, I'm just buying CBD. I mean, if you could come out with Gronk cornflakes, but there's already a bunch of cornflakes.
If you were going to buy weed and you didn't know anything about weed and there was a regular strand that you knew nothing about, but then there was Willie Nelson's weed, who would you buy?
I wouldn't buy Willie Nelson's weed. I don't need to end up in insane asylum.
Well, you don't know any better. That's the point.
No, I do know. I know that I've talked to Johnny Knoxville about this more than once.
But if you're just...
Pretend you don't have the intimate knowledge.
I mean, the stories of people smoking weed with Willie Nelson's hysterical.
Willie Nelson smokes weed from the time he gets up, from the time he goes to bed.
Yep, and he puts it in his coffee. There's like a drink that he mixes it in.
He has an old West Town edibles behind his house where he has a guy who rolls joints and puts them in ashtrays in all the stupid saloons he has on his property. Of course. I mean, you know how much he probably didn't get high anymore. I mean, if you...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.